I don't see what I did wrong. The phrase is, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. That's what I said. No, you said, sorry, Daddy, I've been naughty.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
Come on down to the Midwest Faith Explosion. We're going to drop our seed all over the place. The seed of the Spirit. The Word and the water of God flowing from my holy chalice. We're going to pump you full of seed and get you to explode. $19.99. VIP tickets, only a few left.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Ah, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and co-host, the beautiful Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
And best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. I'm just reading a breaking news from Instagram, because okay. You know that's where I get all my news.
Right.
White woman gives birth to black baby and accuses husband of having sex with a black woman.
Nice try.
Maury Povich. Yeah. You are not the father. Yes! I love when those guys celebrate they're not the father. I love how those guys celebrate that there's like a fatherless child out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and let's be honest about it. They must pay those people, right? On the Maury Povich show, they must pay them something.
They have to.
What other reason would you want to then go on to Maury Povich?
There are a lot of people that are just want to be on TV.
There's a lot of people that are fame whores.
Yes.
There's a lot of people that just do stupid shit to get attention, and all they want is downloads. That did I say downloads? I meant views, views, views.
Yes.
Speaking of fame whores, we're quite... somebody called me famous today.
Ooh.
And I said, I think you got to engage your dictionary on the definition of famous. Yeah, yeah, I'm not famous. Did I tell you I went to go pick up a rent-a-car? And the guy at the rent-a-car place who's checking you out, the guy who, like, you know, walks around the car with you and blah-diddy-blah, he's like, hey, you do something. And I'm like, he's looking at me sideways, and he goes, hey, you do something. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he goes, you do something. You're like an actor, a famous person. And I was like, no, not me. Got wrong Mr. Pickford altogether. No, I know you. You do something. What are you on? You got that YouTube channel? And I'm like, I have a YouTube channel. It's not watched by anybody, but I do have a YouTube channel. And he goes, I knew it. No, wait. You on that podcast. And I'm like, what podcast is that? And he goes, The Break Something. And I go, The Commercial Break? And he goes, that's it.
No way.
I was blown away.
Yeah.
The kid was young. I mean, he was young, super nice, super young. And I was like, you're not my target audience. We got like 70. We share audience members with Dr. Phil. How are you? How did you find The Commercial Break? It still surprises me every time someone says they listen to The Commercial Break. But then I go to the podcast conference and not a soul, you know, no one recognizes me.
Well, you're from The Commercial Breaks.
I'm The Commercial Breaks. Someone just posted a bunch of pictures of
And you're a stand-up comedian.
I'm a stand-up comedian on The Commercial Breaks with over 200 downloads per episode. Congratulations, Chrissy. High five to you. Yeah, we're going for 201 on this next episode. I'm in the car with my son the other day, and he has been fascinated by the concept of Earth. You know, Dad, can you show me Earth on Google Maps?
I love Earth and the space stuff, too.
He's getting into it. He's so smart, and he wants to know everything. He wants to dig into everything. So he's like, what about Earth? And then inevitably comes, who made Earth?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I go, well, it depends on who you ask. But some people call that entity God, right? Mm-hmm. Why? Well, I don't know why. Because it's dog backwards, and they thought it was funny. I'm not really sure why people call it God. But you knew this question. I knew this question was coming.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I'm not really particularly sure how to answer it because my own set of beliefs. Like, I'm in the camp about parenting where I want to give my son, like my kids, a buffet of answers.
Right.
Of information and allow them to choose what's best for them when they get to the point that they're best for them. And the reason why I want to do that is because I don't want to indoctrinate my children in any particular way with any particular religion. Now, I do think religion probably holds some value somewhere.
For a lot of people, it does. And good for that.
Like, you know, for those preachers that get airplanes out of it. They're holding, they hold a lot of value there.
Right.
But I, you know, I'm not there. I don't want to like go, well, there's God and there's Jesus and there's, you know, Mary. Or nor do I want to say, you know, there's Muhammad or Buddha or whatever. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I want to tell him that there are people that think this and there are people who believe that. And then you choose what's best for you when you get old enough to believe. Until then, I have made the earth and everything around it, and you are going to listen to what I have to say. As I rule with
I have made the earth.
I have made the earth, and I'm going to rule with an iron fist.
Up.
Yeah, I whipped it up. Oh,
right,
he came to me
right
one
before you were born.
He came to me one day, and he goes, "Dad, who made me?" And I go, "Well, your mommy likes the pool boy. You know that guy who cleans our pool? He did it. He did it. It was his fault. He made you." But it just got it got me thinking about this Instagram account that I've been following. My son's question got me thinking about an Instagram account. I'll give it a shout out. It's called now I can't think of what it's called. Oh, Christian Nightmares is what it's called.
Okay.
Christian Nightmares. So at Christian Nightmares, I think. But basically what they do is they take wild footage of Christians mainly behaving poorly and do reels. And they do a lot of these a day.
Well, there's got to be a lot out there.
Oh, there's a ton. I mean, look at this show. We just scratched the surface of these prosperity preachers and preachers in general. And we get a lot of feedback about those episodes that we do. So we're going to do another one because we're pining for attention because we're fame whores.
They're easy targets.
They're easy targets. They really are. But this... When I was scrolling through this Instagram account, one of the reels that came up was a little girl, I'm going to guess no older than 9 or 10 years old, crying on a stage in front of 1,000 people about how she's like screaming, "The Lord comes and saves me. Let the Lord, let the Spirit run through me." She's crying. She's so visibly upset.
Wow.
She's shaking. Her mom, I'm assuming, is like next to her going, "Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus." That's what indoctrination looks like.
That's so good.
Come on. That's so good. Let me.
So good. That's so good.
This is huge.
This kind of indoctrination of your child is just wild to me. It's
wild
to me.
Yeah.
And I don't understand for the life of me. I can't understand why a parent would want to subject their child to that kind of brainwashing that early.
Well, they're brainwashed.
They're brainwashed is the other question. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like when you have a child, something kind of kicks you in the balls a little bit. I mean, if you have balls or whatever in the crotch. But
as long as one of them wasn't kicked in a soccer game and didn't drop.
Oh, yeah. You got to drop your balls at the soccer game. Still waiting for someone to. Oh, someone did an interview with that Devin guy about his balls.
Let's
stay on track here for just one second. So that kind of indoctrination, when you have a child, it's like you really want to, I don't know, there's some kind of clarity that comes with having a child. All of a sudden you have a little bit of purpose and direction and motivation. You got to stop doing so much cocaine because, you know, you're never going to get any sleep.
I mean, after the birth of the baby, that's it. Like in the birthing room.
In the birthing room.
That's the last time you should be
The last time you want to be doing
like
any cocaine during that particular stay at the hospital.
Yeah.
When you get out of the hospital, you're going to need lots of cocaine to keep you up while the baby's feeding 17 times a day. And forget about mushrooms between the hours of 5 and 10 p.m. You got to wait till they go to bed to do those things.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to mistake your child for a hairy troll running around. Kill the troll! This kind of indoctrination just surprises me because of the clarity that you get with a child and the kind of purpose that you have. And you want to protect them from all things foreign and domestic, right? You don't want your child to be brainwashed by anybody. But yet this is happening en masse in this country. And I think part of when we skewer these preachers, I'm not skewering them because I don't think there's value in the actual religion of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of people who behave poorly under all kinds of different flags,
right? True.
Political and religious and all forms and fashions of labels. What I'm skewering is the brainwashing that's happening in the benefit of one or two or three people only, and that is the people who are up on the pulpit preaching. Mm-hmm. They are the ones who are being rewarded handsomely for brainwashing all of these people into giving them more money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a complete bastardization of anything that I know that Jesus taught. Like, I grew up in Catholic school, so
yeah.
I had to have lots of
learning about it.
Sex and in the chapel, and I also had to learn about it. I had to go to church like once a day at some point. I was going into that church, and you hear about Jesus and all these wonderful things that he does. Sounds like a pretty cool guy, right? Yeah. And then you see these prosperity preachers up there, and they are complete fucktwads.
People twist and turn a lot of the words.
We're going to give an example of how this happens pretty quick. Like a couple of season three, at the end of season three, we did one particular takedown of a guy named Keith Moore, who was just a total shit fuck. I mean, this guy was an asshat of epic proportions, twisting the words of the Bible into you giving him more money.
Yep.
And all these people were sitting in front of him going, praise Jesus.
Praise God.
Oh, that is good.
That's good.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, that's so good. I can feel my Amex lifting out of my wallet right now.
One guy was taking notes, remember? He was feverishly writing.
All of them. They're always feverishly. What are you writing? Are you writing, help me? Like, that's what I would be writing.
You're trying to figure out your budget.
Me. Yeah, you're trying to figure out your budget. How are you going to afford the mortgage after you give someone a $5,000 payment? To be fair to the Christianity in general, there are, if you Google or if you go to YouTube and you put in prosperity preacher, the first 180 videos are all takedowns of the prosperity preachers by other Christians.
Oh, okay, good.
They understand, some of them understand that prosperity preaching is really hurting the religion in general and that it's just not a good thing. Yet, these people continue to ride around in their billion-dollar jets from place to place, looking down on everybody else who doesn't have as much money as they do. Tell me, explain to me, prosperity preacher follower, how that benefits anybody in life. How does your preacher having a 747 decked out to his particular specifications help anybody? The argument will be, I need it to fly from place to place to give the good word of the Lord. Jesus walked around without shoes! The Buddhists go, they walk from village to village asking for one grain of rice and they'll sweep off your front porch. I mean, these guys live without anything their entire lives. They seem to be doing just fine spreading the word without the help of a 747. And by the way, Delta! That's it. That's all you need to know. Delta.com.
Yeah, just get on a commercial flight. Yeah.
First class. Okay, cool, dude. I like to do that. If I can afford it, I'll fly first class. Never been able to afford it, but it looks really nice.
It does. It looks super nice. The people.
Yeah.
You're drinking champagne.
That's right. You know, they have the big planes with the double doors, and they let you in the middle one so as not to taint the first class with the smell of your poor butt.
Your poor butt.
Excuse me, sir, if you could just walk back toward where the poor people are, I'd appreciate it. We're here. I'm going to close this curtain right here just to make sure none of the poor people get their poor people stank all over you. I'm so sorry. Would you like another glass of champagne? A gold bar? Can I lay you down in your personal bed? Thank you very much. Thanks for joining Delta.com. We only care about the first 10 rows, so everybody else, we'll turn off the lights, make it super cold and uncomfortable. Thanks very much. We'll be serving sodas halfway through your 9.5-hour flight. And the kid next to you is still screaming. Yes, he is. But we're going to close the curtain so everybody else can't hear it. Thanks for flying Delta.
So I just don't get it. I just don't get what the benefit is to making your preacher extraordinarily wealthy.
I don't either.
If
maybe that's why we didn't meet at a church function.
It would have been a much better origin story had we met at a church function. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm writing the copy for the website right now with the website people, and they want an origin story, which I think is a cool idea, right? He's like, oh, let's do an origin story. We can do like a timeline of events.
Yes.
And I'm like, timeline of events? Met, drunk, blackout. Brian had a kid.
Yeah.
Still drunk. Court ordered AA, drunk. I mean, what do you want me to put? So he's like, find some photographs of the two. A photograph? I was telling our audio editor today, I think from between the ages of 17 and maybe my first wedding, there might be 4 photographs of me out there in the world.
I took a ton of pictures, but then when I moved back down to Atlanta, right after we met.
Yeah.
Really, I don't remember having any pictures after that.
I think that's actually...
I think it was before the iPhone really had caught hold.
We were still using BlackBerries. And even though some BlackBerries
so
could take pictures.
You had to do, like, yeah, you could have a camera.
Yeah, remember they had, like, but, the... What was that little video camera that they gave me at Clear Channel that I was handing around?
That's
what
right.
was that? The blip? The flip? The
something like that.
The something like that? It was like a handheld video camera?
Yeah.
The flip camera? Yeah, I was running around with that thing, but God knows where that is. We're going to be like, mark my words, it's going to be season number 7. We're going to be like 58 million downloads a month, right? Spotify is going to be negotiating a contract with us, and some jackhole is going to come out of the woodwork with my old flip in their hand. Maybe you ought to think twice. We're going to get extorted for money. It's going to be, anyway. So the...
But what, extorted for money, because we've basically laid out all of our secrets on
this
podcast.
Yeah, there's nothing to
anyways.
Extort us from. You know, someone is actually... Did I tell the story about
us? I don't think we could run for political office.
No,
that's
no,
for
no,
sure,
no, 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 no. Political office? We'll be lucky to get a job at McDonald's, Chrissy. I mean, for God's sakes. This day and age, everybody cancels everybody for everything.
True.
It's absolutely insane. How we haven't already been canceled, I'm not sure. But I think no one that matters is listening.
Yeah. So, right.
You matter to us.
Yes.
But, you know, you're not calling TMZ on us. We appreciate it. But back to the prosperity preachers. So we actually had a woman, and I'm not going to give her name because I don't know if she wants me to, but whenever we do these takedowns of the preachers, which we do every season, we do the takedowns of the preachers, we get a lot of feedback about this. And it's normally, it's like, go get them, Tiger.
Yes.
This woman.
They're like, you're spot on.
Yeah, you're spot on. This woman grew up in a house full of preachers, full of fire and brimstone preachers.
Wow.
Her grandfather, her grandfather's father, her father. She comes from a long lineage of these type of preachers. And she wrote this excellent email to me. And I don't want to read it on air because I don't want to give away personal details about her because I don't have her permission. But she basically said, you're so fucking spot on with this,
yes.
Right? This is exactly what's going on. If you think for one fucking second that any of these preachers up there bastardizing the word of the Lord into a check out of your pocket, a swipe of your PayPal, thinks themselves that any of this is true, you got rocks in your head. You have fucking rocks in your head. These people are there for one purpose and one purpose only. Continue to get your payday tax-free.
Money, money, money.
Money, money, money.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought what we would do is take some time today. And let's just get right into it. Let's not wait till the end of the season, Chrissy. Let's get right into it.
I like it.
And let's get prosperity preachers in their rightful place in TCB lore way at the bottom.
We'll now take a short break to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be back to this episode of TCB.
Hey, everybody out there in the podcast universe, it's time for the dreaded commercial break inside the commercial break. It's season number 4. You've heard it all before, so let's get to it quickly. You can text us or leave us a voicemail at 1-855-TCB-8383. Questions, comments, concerns, or content ideas, send them to 855-TCB-8383 toll-free from anywhere in the world. Visit our website, tcbpodcast.com, to listen to any of the audio, watch any of the video, or send us a message. Hit the contact us button. Instagram and TikTok at The Commercial Break. And now YouTube videos the same day they air on the audio feed. They'll air youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Chrissy and I are very grateful every time you choose to listen to The Commercial Break. If you're ever in the market for our sponsors, products, or services, all we ask is that you use the specialized URLs or codes. Thanks again for being part of the TCB family. Now let's hear from those sponsors, and we'll be back to this episode of The Commercial Break.
And now back to this episode of TCB.
First, I want to highlight a video.
Mike McCaw.
Mike McCaw is about to give a testimony. Testimony for those
tan
of you.
And look at his huge watch.
Well, yeah.
Watch.
You know why? Because he prayed to the Lord.
Yes, and got the money.
He gave his last dollar to a prosperity preacher. And for 17 years, he's been thriving.
Mm-hmm.
He never says what he does. So he could be selling crack. I don't know.
We're gonna see D on here.
Yeah. What up, dude? Oh, man, you smell good. I ain't into that shit, bro. You're not into smelling good? Okay, let's listen to Mike McCall. He's about to give his testimony, whatever that means.
My name is Mike McCall, and I have been attending Living Word since and I became a member.
Sorry, let me start that over one time. Anytime Brian goes switching the wires, you know we're going to have audio issues.
That's true.
My name is Mike McCaw, and I have been attending Living Word since the late 90s, off and on, and I became a member in, I believe it was 2004.
Show off. He's like that guy who wears the indie band t-shirt.
Off and on. Why'd you go off?
I listened to Green Day long before you did. Yeah. I was listening before Dookie. Dookie's when they sold out.
Dookie.
And I've been attending ever since. I've always been a generous person. Even when I was working jobs in college, and most of my college mates didn't have money, I would treat them to things. So I've always had that.
You were selling weed out of your dorm room.
Fucking angel. Here. Whenever we didn't have money, I'd treat them to things. I give my roommate a hand shandy every once in a while. De-stress him a little bit.
Power to $5
pizza.
He was
quick to anger. Yeah, that's right. Pizza. College roommate. If you have to highlight your generosity by talking about you paid for your college roommate's pizza, but I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
Mindset of being able to give, which is, I think, God-given for sure. I didn't think that tithing necessarily was something that I needed to do because I didn't feel like I was either making enough to tithe or it was for other people and not necessarily for me. In 2000.
Well, Mike, now you're saying something that makes sense. Something for other people.
2004, I attended the Upper Midwest Faith Explosion. Jerry Seville.
The Upper Midwest Faith Explosion.
That's awesome.
That's casual.
Explosion.
Brian, you know what? We've got some time off coming up here. Summer. You guess what I found? The Faith Explosion.
Hey, girl. You want to come to the Midwest Faith Explosion with me?
Yes, I would love to, Carl.
Okay. Oh, so when we get up there, I just want to let you know there's going to be a Midwest faith explosion, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
This is where all the preachers go to explode. It's literally a bomb of the spirit. We're going to dip ourselves in some holy water and explode. Hence the name Midwest Faith Explosion. We used to call it the Midwest Jizz Conference. But we didn't sell as many tickets.
The Midwest Faith Explosion. Wow.
Is there other regions too? Like South?
Yeah. The nether region. there's all kind of regions. I'll draw a map on you if you want me to, girl. Just give me a call. Send me some pictures and I'll do that little highlighter thing on my iPhone. I'll edit it with some. I'll show you.
Oh my God.
There's the titty region. There's the nether region. There's the anal region, which is godly, just to let you know. If you want to have sex before marriage, you do it in the anal region. And you can do it at the Midwest Faith Explosion.
Oh, what a name.
It sure is. We are literally laughing at you while you're buying tickets. Gotta go.
Literally laughing at you while you're buying tickets to the Midwest Faith Explosion?
Yeah.
Tell me this is not a joke.
Was speaking and he was talking about precious seed. And at that time I was between.
Well, Carl.
Come on down to the Midwest Faith Explosion. We're going to drop our seed all over the place. The seed of the spirit. The word and the water of God flowing from my holy chalice. We're going to pump you full of seed and get you to explode. 1999. VIP tickets, only a few left.
Oh my God. Jeff needs to call. Listen, Memphis is a great name, but Memphis Music Explosion is much better.
I mean, anything explosion.
Yeah, if you put explosion in there, you're bound to sell tickets. And then tell them you're going to be dropping seed all over the place. Forget about it.
Explosion.
Mempho Music Explosion. Yes. It is renamed. I want to get paid for that, by the way, Jeff.
I'll tell him.
Careers, I was kind of spinning my wheels and not really knowing what direction I wanted to go in life. But something
But once I found the Midwest Faith Explosion, I knew exactly where I needed to drop my seed. My seed.
I know.
To me, during that message, and it was whatever you have is a precious seed to be able to sow into the kingdom. And I...
Oh, I'm going to be sowing some seeds in the kingdom over there at that Midwest Faith Explosion. You think that's like a Bonnaroo for Christians?
Yes.
They're all sleeping in tents and fucking each other after day number three?
I didn't have a job at the moment, but I had one thing of value, and that was
my seed. So I started selling it to the church. Hand milk.
I didn't have a job, but you, okay, yeah. Let me just go to this faith explosion.
Let me go to the faith explosion.
And I'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, I've been there before, yeah. Right? Don't have a job. Have a job, but don't have any money because, you know, right. Even when I have a job, I don't have money. But don't have any money. And then someone says, come to this retreat out in the woods. It's going to change your life. It sure does. For 48 hours, changes my life. As I'm soaked in LSD and marijuana. But then when I wake up on Monday, I'm still the same asshole I was before. That's the problem with yourself. It's hard to run away.
1996 Nissan Maxima that I loved more than anything. Something in me said, donate that car. Give that car at that time.
And plus, it had just broken down.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's 2004. You're driving around a 1996 Nissan Maxima. Been there, done that, by the way.
I used to have a Maxima a long time ago. They're good cars, but yeah.
I had a Honda Accord.
Yes, you did.
Without a front.
Yes, you did.
I drove it around for 2 years.
Yes, you did.
It had no right light or front or bumper.
I remember
so
that.
I would park it so that you couldn't see the right side. Looked great from the left side. I'd say that story.
I remember that.
I had to go to an interview at the CEO's house, and they lived in a cul-de-sac, and I pulled in the counterclockwise direction so they didn't see the right side of my car. I'm your new director of business development. Can we have this interview during the day so I don't have to use my headlight? No, I said headlight, singular.
I remember writing on the offering, 1996 Nissan Maxima, where should I deliver it? And then it did take me a few years to really understand. I needed
what
to
is
tie
the, what are they doing with the car?
Chrissy. You got to be a real...
Selling it for parts?
Yeah, you got to be a real fucking jerk off.
Like, what?
To stand up on the pulpit in someone who has no job, can't even afford a ticket to the Midwest Faith Explosion. And he writes, where do I send my Nissan Maxima? Well, where is it? Is it not with you? You're at the church. Just give him the keys. Where did it go? Oh, it's been in the shop for 3 months. Can't afford to get it out. Your problem now, God. Like, honestly, what are you doing? What are you doing with your life here, dude? If you're the preacher and you read that and you go, yep, go get his Nissan Maxima from him.
Take it.
Isn't he sleeping in the Maxima? Oh, I saw him out there yesterday. You're an asshole if you take that guy's Maxima. I would say, nope, don't accept the Maxima. And here's $100. Yes, get your stuff up to the Midwest Faith Explosion.
Everything that I brought in and give God my first fruits. Well, I started my business in 2006, and it was just me. And within...
It was just me growing weed in the back of my Maxima.
2 years later.
2 years later. I'm now the Midwest king. I'm now the Midwest weed king of Chicago.
A year I had another employee. By 2008, I had 5 or 6 employees. The economy took a dive, but my business doubled.
because everyone needs weed.
Yeah, that's right.
I call it God's house of weed and seed. We'll drop loads or roll them up. Roll them or drop them.
And it continued to have successful growth each year. We've never had a down year. Our growth has been consistent for 16 years.
Oh.
And I attribute that all to...
He said his... I hold on one second.
For 18 years.
And I attribute that all...
Say 18 years? Yeah, hold on. Let's see what he said.
Our growth has been consistent for 17 years now.
And you've had consistent growth for 17 years? Your success is only matched by the download growth of the commercial break. We've had download growth for 17 days.
And I attribute that all to God's economy. There's no other explanation.
God's economy?
Yeah.
God's. I guess when you believe like this guy believes, then everything's God's economy.
I attribute everything to me. Maxima?
Yeah. Well, Maxima to the guy? But he said many years later. I didn't realize. It took me many years. It took you many years. I thought that's not the way it works. I thought you're supposed to, like, you know, claim it, yes. And then it's supposed to be yours.
Yeah.
Why are you giving them stuff? You're supposed to be claiming it. I claim what's in this collection basket.
That's right. The that's other guy said
claim
that.
It.
Claim it. Just walk up. Like we said what we were going to do is just, you know, walk up to the house next door, claim it.
That's right.
It's mine.
I walked into McDonald's at the hospital and I was like, I McClaim it. I McClaim it. I'm McClaiming this Big Mac. See you later.
God told me to.
Somebody there. I didn't even order anything, and they were like, you know,
order 392.
I'm McClaiming it. I McClaim it.
How I've been able to do the things that I've done. It's not by, I mean, certainly God's given me gifts and abilities, but he's opened doors that I never thought were possible and brought my business to places I never thought were possible. And I attribute that all to being diligent in my tithes and my offerings.
Oh my God, this is what drives me fucking crazy.
Yeah,
is that it's a tit for tat. God has a quid pro quo. Mm-hmm. You give and he will give.
He helps.
If you don't give, he won't give. Yeah. How is this at all possible?
Right.
Do you think these shitty prosperity preachers were giving when they were young, before they found out what a racket they can get into?
Yeah, exactly.
I guarantee they were the last ones to throw a dollar in that basket. Why? Because all they can think about is them fucking selves. And this guy, Tim McGraw here, or whatever his name is over here, the Midwest, you know, Midwest weed king of Chicago. This dude, right, is playing right into it by giving his testimony like this. Don't do this, Mike. You seem like a nice guy. You seem like the kind of guy who... You seem like you could go into a restaurant for a Christmas party, knock back a couple lines, get a bottle of wine in you, and hang out with the boys.
Right.
Don't play into this bullshit, Mike. Come on. This is probably made 3 years ago. He's bankrupt.
To this church and to other ministries, too, and just helping to further the gospel throughout the state, the country, and the world.
Oh, yeah. Don't only give to the one you go to. Go to give to others.
Everything.
So, okay,
for
so that is Mike McGraw's testimony. That testimony is on behalf of this World Church
Living
Ministries,
Word
Living Word Ministries, which includes a lot of the prosperity preachers that we take down. This Keith Moore guy, Kenneth Copeland is a part of this. And then there is another gentleman that I found that I would like to showcase.
Yeah.
He is going to explain to us exactly how we get what we need out of the Lord through prayer, the petition prayer. There's different types of prayer.
Okay.
You can't just pray to God. You can't just say, dear God, I really think, you know, Olivia mom is very hot. Please send her to my front door without a top on. You can't do that.
Right.
That's loosey-goosey prayer. You need to it all out.
Please let the commercial break survive.
Yeah. Dear God, please let the commercial break get its advertising check from 2022 and sometime in 2023. Dear Lord, please let the commercial break do less episodes and make more money. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, we claim it.
Yeah, I claim it. I'm going to claim my children back once we stop doing so many episodes. Let's listen to what this asshat has to say. Jerry Savelle, nothing like a guy, nothing like a preacher riding a Harley in the intro video.
He's wearing a leather jacket and driving a Harley.
Yeah,
Like that's
shit. You remember when I told you about the cars for kids? 1-800-100 kilo cars for kids. 1-844 cars for kids. How they must spend all of their money on advertising, right? Mm-hmm. 92% of the money that goes into that charity must go to advertising because they're everywhere at all times. Now they're on TV. Used to be just radio. Now they're on TV too. But when you spend this much money on production value, I mean,
yeah.
Why are you wasting the money like this? Oh, I think that's his daughter. This is Jerry Savelle and his daughter, and I think her name is like Jeannie Savelle or something like that.
That seems like a very close relationship.
Oh, yeah. Spreading the seed of the Lord.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Terry and I appreciate you taking time out of your busy life to watch our broadcast. And we believe that we're going to share some things with you today that's going to help you in your spiritual growth. And in particular, it's going to help you develop a more powerful and an accurate prayer life. We're going to be talking about the prayer of petition, and I'm really excited about this subject because it is something that I have studied and applied for over 40 years, and I always like to say about the prayer of petition, when you're facing what seems to be the most impossible situation you've ever faced, I have discovered the prayer of petition is the kind of prayer that produces the quickest results. So,
just that one.
It's just quick results.
Well, you do want quick results.
Exactly. When I go to the store and there's normal Jell-O and then there's the 3-minute Jell-O, right. I get the 3-minute Jell-O. Why? Because I need the quickest results. That's right. When I'm making love to my wife, I need the quickest results. I'm not looking to dawdle, Chrissy. I don't want to dawdle. I got things to do.
Yeah.
I got to fly my 747 to, you know, wherever, Bengal, to teach children how to tithe.
If you're facing some impossible-looking situations right now, then don't you dare turn the station.
Well, now you're talking to Chrissy and I. We are in facing an impossible situation. Yes. Continue to do this stupid show or go back to our normal lives.
You watch very closely as Terry and I talk to you about the prayer petition. Terry, I'm so glad you're with me today, and I know that you've learned how to pray the prayer petition, got tremendous results.
Because I indoctrinated you myself.
Exactly.
That's his daughter. By the way, doesn't he look like the gym coach that would be drunk?
He does.
Like, doesn't he look like the high school gym coach?
He does.
Yeah. Watch the girls running around the track. Yeah.
Looking forward to your comments.
I agree that it does produce results in what seems to be impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we get so
what
many
prayers. What seems to be impossible.
It provides results in what seems to be impossible circumstances. That's why I want you to come to the Midwest Faith Explosion. That's where I learned how to spread the seed of the Lord.
You know, they say that sometimes people who have voices like this, it's because they're like, it's a reaction to something that happened as a child, right? They still
say, like,
think
stunted.
Of themselves, stunted growth. They still think of themselves as children.
Right.
And so their voices don't mature along with that. Now, I'm sure there's physical problems, physical ailments that can cause this kind of really high register voice also. But I'm assuming she's been so indoctrinated by her dad
since
over the
she
years.
Was a child.
Yeah. And she's still under his wing that she can't be her own person. She thinks of herself as a child because this voice is
way up there.
it is way up there.
From people facing things that look absolutely impossible.
Yeah.
So I believe, just like you said, and I believe that people are watching by divine appointment, that you're going to get that answer. Because I am so excited about this. This has become my new favorite Jerry Savelle book.
Oh, here we go.
Pitch the book, Jerry. Don't forget to pitch the book. It's me, Satan, holder of all money on earth. Pitch the book. Spread the seed, pitch the book. Get the VIP sales for the Midwest Faith Explosion.
That's a great one.
Welcome to Chili's. How can I help you?
Yeah, I have a divine appointment.
Oh, right this way.
I'm here to pick up. I'm here for my divine appointment.
We've been waiting.
On the prayer petition.
You know, I have been teaching on the prayer petition for
Well, 40 years. I can remember meetings that I would go to. One meeting in particular in
was with me, Satan. And I told you, if you write that book and start asking for more seed, I'll get you that airplane you're looking for. Pitch the book, Jerry.
Toronto, where I had like a whole week there, and every morning I taught on this. In fact, I have my notes from it right here. Toronto, March 31st, 1989. Prayer petition.
Holding it like it's a museum-quality item.
I know. Look, I have it right here.
Yeah.
It says Toronto.
I have it right here.
1989, Toronto.
Here, look at my notes.
I wonder if like, you know, Grateful Dead has the bootleg tapes.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, his followers are like, we've
trading.
Got a copy of the Toronto 89.
Oh, I got a copy of the notes from Toronto 89!
Exactly.
I got a bootleg, bro! And this one, Peter Popoff shows up and heals some folks with a fist!
Toronto 89.
Toronto 89 is my favorite, bro! What's your favorite Jerry Savelle milking of cash out of old ladies? Dude, you can go Toronto 89 all you want, bro, but I'm Chicago 94. Paducah 99. That's where shit went down. Someone wrote him a $10,000 check right there. Someone literally deeded him the house. Said, where do I send it?
It was Mike McCall.
That's right. What about McCall in 2004, bro? Oh, shit, I forgot about that one. That was sweet.
Maxima.
Handed in the keys to the 96 Maxima right there. Right in the basket. I got it all. I got it all on notes. He wrote it down. Took some dumbass's Maxima. Had a nice steak for dinner.
God began to teach me this. It actually began when I first came to the Lord in 1969. And of course, back then.
It was really a lot harder to get a hold of the Lord. We didn't have the iPhone like we do now when I first came to the Lord. Bunch of horseshit.
We didn't have, you know, iPods and CDs, not even had cassettes. It was reel-to-reel tapes. And the meeting that I was in with...
It was Stone. We had MS Stone.
Right, the Stone tablet.
We didn't have PowerPoint. We had MS Stone. Ching, 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 ching. Toronto, 89. Ching, 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 ching.
Kenneth Copeland, where he came to... Shreveport, Louisiana, where your mom and I grew up.
Oh, God. Kenneth Copeland. Anytime you met, yeah.
Old Kenny.
He learned from the best.
Old Kenny Copeland. King Cope. King Cope, for short.
Yeah, blowing. King Cope.
King Cope.
King Cope. Old King Cope blowing those tornadoes away.
Where we were living and where you were born. And he came and taught.
Right over my wife's head. Right on my wife's boobs.
Prayer. But he talked about from Ephesians 6, which I'll read in a few moments.
Oh, we can't wait.
Ephesians 6,
where you're going to twist the word of the Lord into your own mangled version of indoctrination.
Paul said that we are to pray with all kinds of prayer. Well, that was a revelation to me. I didn't know there were different kinds of prayer. And then he began to talk about each different kind of prayer specifically.
Do you notice on the bottom they're already putting
contact us today.
Here's buy the book.
PO box.
Yeah, here's our PO box. Send your
phone number.
Send your donations.
Yep.
But the one that really made an impact on me was when he taught on the prayer petition. So I took that one lesson that he did on the prayer petition, and actually it was not a whole lesson. He kind of finished up his week and just mentioned the prayer petition, talked about it a little bit. Just gave us enough information that stirred me up to
get to the book, Jerry. This plane isn't going to fly itself. We got to pay the pilots. Come on, Jerry. Snap, snap.
I'm going to study it more. And so I began studying on prayer. That was like next to favor. That was the second thing God began to teach me. Now,
next to favor.
I don't know.
What is favor?
I don't know.
Like doing a favor for somebody?
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm wish somebody would do a favor for me and put me out of my misery. We're only one episode into 700 this season.
I brought with me in the studio today my very first
notebook. Oh, there we go. Get
notebook.
To the book. You got the book.
Jerry.
My very first notebook?
Yeah, your very first notebook? Really?
From 69?
Yeah. Do you think anybody cares about your very first notebook? Let me tell you something. I found some old writing journals that I had, and they are less interesting today than they were back when I started them.
True.
I don't know what I'm fucking talking about.
True.
I have a feeling Jerry takes copious notes on how to milk people out of their money.
Look, it says from 1969 to 1973. And right here, you know, see my dividers? This one's on faith. This
like
one's
a
on
day planner.
The yeah. believer. This 90s. One's on.
For 4 years, that's not a lot of notes.
No, that's not a lot of notes. I mean, what do you need to know? What do you need to know?
69 to 74. 69 he's got like 12 pages.
Yeah, he's got 12 pages. What does he need to know? He just like twists the word. Ask for money. That's all you need. You
twist
don't want to put that shit down on paper
money.
In
spread
case you go
seed.
To court. Yeah, spread the seed. Ask for a favor. Ask for money. Spread the seed.
Twist the word.
To your, yeah, to people you know. Don't, yeah. yeah. Don't give it back to the people
talk
out there.
Talk to your friends and family.
Gross. Yeah. Talk to your friends and family.
Healing, and this one's
Ponzi scheme's pretty easy. You don't need a lot of notes on
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the power of the word of God. And then there's a whole section
they're
on
blank.
They're all blank. The pages are blank.
That's hilarious.
I told you not to break out the notebook, Jerry. No one fucking cares. Let's get to the best hits. You cured someone of blindness. Mike McGraw has a successful business. And the book is $29.99. Now let's get back to it, Jerry. Get on track.
My first outline was how to pray, how to go into prayer. And by the time I concluded this, you know, study on prayer,
4 years later,
petition was
by the time I concluded my study on the prayer.
74 yeah. had rolled around.
6 days later. 73, Jerry. 73, Jerry.
That's the best.
He's the best. Right when he came to the word of the Lord.
Yep.
Yeah. Have you seen his old notebook? He showed it on TV the other day. I know. I DVR'd it. I made a reel out of it.
One that just seemed to jump out at me. And it seemed like that once I learned how to pray that, the things that seem most impossible, like, for instance, there's, look at this section right here.
God, he keeps on showing this notebook to his child.
Daughter.
And how many times do you think he showed him that he showed her this notebook?
Oh, a million.
Thousands.
Yeah, but she hasn't said one word.
Because she doesn't give a fucking shit.
She's like, let dad.
She's like, daddy, I just want to, you know what I want to do? I want to be a waitress at a restaurant. Yeah. I want to have my own job. That's what I want to do, daddy. Can I finish eighth grade, daddy?
Prayer agreements and grants. These are written out prayers because that's what a petition is. It is a formal request. It is a prayer that you don't just pray right off the top of your head. It's not a prayer that you pray suddenly. It's a prayer that you take the time to research the Bible and build a case. The Bible's.
This
I think my eyes
is
just glazed over.
Some of the most egregious horseshit I have ever heard. He is telling you that in order to pray for what you want, like mm-hmm. that 747 you're looking to get,
you got to write it down.
You got to write it down. You got to make a case. You got to go. You got to go fight for it in there with God. You got to say, "Hey, God, I have a 26-page dissertation. I got my own notebook from 769 to 74. I've researched how much it costs to have a 747.
Yeah, I've got a business plan right here.
I got a business
here.
Plan right here. What do you think? 747? Yes, yes. Sweet.
Yes.
Now I got a plane just like Kenny Copeland, just like Keiko. Like old Keiko.
Is that God is the judge of all the earth. You know, the prayer petition is much like a lawyer going into court and having prepared his case
oh my God.
Ahead of time.
You're boring everybody, Jerry. Just tell them where to send the money. Jerry, I've been on your side since 69. We've been doing business together a long time. I gotta be honest, I think you're losing it in your old age. You keep on talking about your notebook. No one fucking cares. They just want to know where to send the money so they can get rich. You give me, I give you. Remember the whole line we came up with? You send it to me, I'll send it back to you in some way, shape, or form many years down the road. But Mike McGraw, at least he had a good story with the Midwest Faith Explosion. That's a great name I came up with, by the way. You still owe me money for that one, Jerry. I haven't forgotten. You're on the spreadsheet.
He doesn't just walk in there and say, well, you know, Judge, we sure hope that you see it our way. He goes in there having looked at his reference books of other laws, you know, Johnson versus Smith, and he has all the facts of how the law.
You should just go ahead and take the LSAT before you start praying.
Hey, Daddy, what does this have to do with anything? I thought we were going to sell your book.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jerry, get back to it. She's right.
In that particular case. And he presents that before that court. The prayer petition is the prayer where you go through the Word of God. This is your law book, so to speak. You go through the Word of God, finding everything you can find on that specific need that you have in your life, and then you write it out. As
just
a
cut
formal,
and paste.
God damn, you got to do homework? Cut and paste.
Just take this word,
yeah.
Put it with that one.
Can I put it into Chat GPT and ask it to spin it out?
Yeah. Mix it up. Then present it to God.
This is yet another way to twist all these things up and make them sound like you're going to get a return on your investment if you just give him money. And I got to be honest, this is one of the wackiest ways I've ever heard. He's telling you to write, go through the entire Bible, find every line of the Bible that has to do with your need.
Even if it's just a word.
Where does it talk about the 747, Jerry? Where? All right.
We're going to be doing a commercial break explosion.
Yeah, the commercial break Midwest explosion
this summer.
That is going to be our tour name. Write it down in the book, Chrissy. It goes down in the notebook. That's right. I'm going to go through the Bible and find out where it talks about the commercial break Midwest explosion tour. Midwest explosion 23. I am going to find. Also, put an asterisk there so I can get that clip, because that's pretty funny. We could drop that in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, make your little marker.
Oh, yeah. Marker? Make my little. Well, it's 17 minutes ago. Anyway, hey, listen, tcbpodcast.com. That's where you find out all the information about Chrissy and I. All the audio, all the video. You know where to go, tcbpodcast.com. Drop us a line on the Contact Us button, or you can dial us up 1-855-TCB-8383 from anywhere in the world toll free. 1-855-TCB-8383. We'd love to hear your questions, your comments, your concerns, your content ideas. If you'd like a sticker, send your physical address to us along with your name to one of those two places, the website or the phone line, and we will send out a sticker in a couple of weeks. We send them out every couple of weeks. We batch them and we send them out. And we love you for giving us a review. We love you for giving us a review. So please do that on Apple or your favorite podcast player. Just drop a couple of nice words. Most people say,
most people are nice.
Unfunny and boring. 5 stars.
Yes.
So feel free to follow along in the well-worn path. Footsteps of your fellow brethren, your fellow commercial break listeners. Got something stuck in my throat.
I noticed.
I think God has struck me down. Right.
I need to pray about that.
I got to write out a petition. The commercial break on Instagram and now on TikTok. And please do us a favor. YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak. The episodes now air at the exact same time as the audio feed. So no delay. You don't have to wait 2 weeks to go back and watch what we were talking about, because who can keep up with these fucking episodes? There's too many of them. All right, Chrissy. Well, for today and today only, I guess that's all I can do.
I think so.
So I'll say, I love you.
I love you.
And then you know what I want to say?
Best to you.
I also want to say best to you. And I want to tell you out there in the podcast universe, best to you. Until next time, Chrissy and I always say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.